The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. What's happening, everyone? Welcome back to CP Reviewed, the official podcast of Another71.com. I am your humble host, Jeff Elliott, a licensed CPA in the state of Kansas, where we hopefully make the CPA exam far, 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 far more exciting than it was ever intended to be. Happy Friday to you. Today is Friday, April 5th, 2013. All right, on today's show, we have 8 calls. Normally, we only have like one call, and then that person wins the Ninja 10-point combo, which includes Ninja Audio, Ninja Flashcards, Ninja Notes. Anything else? The Wiley Test Bank. And so normally, one person calls in, that person wins a 10-point combo. Today, we had like 8 people call in, and so it's about to get interesting. Who's going to win? So, all right. Up first is Brock.
Hey, Jeff. My name is Brock. Taking BEC on April 20th, and my question for you is, how can I get better at cost accounting? That's the one area that I'm really struggling with. If you have any tips or advice, we'd greatly appreciate it. Another question, if you don't mind, is what steps do I take right after I pass all 4 parts of the exam, as far as work requirements especially? Thanks for always putting up those podcasts and for the website. Have a great day. Thanks.
All right. Well, this is pretty common for people taking BEC. They're like, all right, you know, IT is doable. Economics, that's a pretty common subject. People usually don't tend to complain about that. But cost accounting is a bear. And this is probably going to sound like a cop-out, but the best way to learn cost accounting is, yeah, you know, watch your videos and everything, take good notes. But the best way to learn cost accounting and how to work the computations is just to work a ton of problems. Now, if your course comes with a book that has multiple choice questions, maybe you just get out the book, get a legal pad, get old school with it, and go through those questions in the book and really drill down and work those questions. I mean, even if you slow down and, I don't know, answer 10, 15 questions an hour, but just really study the material, read the answer explanations, and keep doing questions and seeing patterns. Working questions is the best way to learn cost accounting. Now, to your other question about, okay, you pass all 4 parts of the exam. What do you do next? Well, I don't know how the independent states work necessarily, but I would imagine they're similar. When you pass all 4 parts and you log in and you see your score on NASBA, like, hey, you passed, you're all done. Well, you're in for a long wait because NASBA then sends your information to your state board of accountancy. Then your state board of accountancy fills this little packet up for you. Hey, you passed, congrats. Here's all your forms. Well, you're waiting on 2 organizations to mail you stuff. You can expedite that by going to your State Board of Accountancy website and finding the forms, the PDFs, printing them out, the work requirement stuff, whatever, have your boss or whoever sign off on your requirements, fill out your paperwork, send it in, and chances are your State Board of Accountancy will receive your paperwork before they can even mail you anything out. So that is my advice for after you pass all 4 parts, go to the Board of Accountancy website to expedite the process. Thanks, Brock. Okay, up next is Danielle.
My question is, I am studying for the auditing exam. I've taken the exam twice now, and I failed both times. I'm using Becker study material to study. And I was thinking about getting the 10-point combo to help me boost my score to 75. I guess what my question was, what's the best way to study with the material that I have? Should I go back and redo everything since I failed the exam twice, or should I incorporate the ninja combo? Should I go back and use the Becker material and then add in the ninja notes and whatnot? I just don't know the best way to study and to incorporate all of the information. And then my other question is, with the Becker study plan, they recommend doing two sections a week. Do you recommend that, or do you think that it should just be one section a week until I get all the material covered? Thanks.
All right, so I would go back through your review course again. And if you're not implementing the ninja framework, where you're watching all of your videos first, you're taking notes, and you save your multiple choice questions until you've watched all of the videos. And again, take notes. Don't highlight. Throw that highlighter away. Highlighting, I've said this 1,000 times, but highlighting is doing nothing but taking pretty fluorescent colors and painting on someone else's printed words. I mean, it means nothing to you. And I mean, When you're reviewing, what are you going to do? Flip back through your book and read the stuff that you colored? I mean, on your exam, you are much more likely to recall something that you yourself wrote down and then wrote again during the rewriting phase than something that you highlight. Let me put it another way. Highlighting is garbage. So I would make sure that you're using the Ninja framework. I mean, obviously it's great if you want to buy a 10-point combo, because I believe it's good study materials at a great price. But I want to make sure that you're studying the right way with your review course, and that you're studying following the Ninja framework and doing it that way. And then if you want to add in the Ninja notes and put it on your iPad or your tablet, or even just have them up on your desktop at work, just read them whenever you have a spare moment. When you get in the car, you're listening to your Ninja audio. You're not listening to talk radio or music or anything. I mean, granted, listening to me talk about accounting is about as fun as a root canal, but it's for a short period of time. So, you know, take the Spotify app off your iPhone and listen to the Ninja audio instead. And then when you pass, delete the Ninja audio and put the Spotify app back on. But so if you're driving, you're listening. I mean, you can drive to the store for a 15-minute round trip, or however close you live to the grocery store, and knock out 15 minutes of auditing or in your case, economics for BEC, whatever it is. And I mean, that's 15 minutes that you spent studying while you're driving in the car. Or commuting, or even just sitting at your desk. And I mean, you can not, I mean, what's the longest Ninja audio is, I think, 4 hours. And so you sit there for eight hours. You can go through all of the material twice a day, every day. So enough of the, enough of the marketing spiel. So yeah, add the Ninja 10-point combo if you want to. Now, in regards to knocking out two chapters or whatever per week, I'm going to say no to that. And the reason is because I'm pretty sure that they have it structured to where you watch a video, then you do your homework questions or whatever. And that's like the Ninja framework is contrary to that, because I think it is a waste of your time and it's inefficient to work your multiple choice, to work all your multiple choice questions. And then 6 weeks later, have to work them all again, because that's just how it is. You don't remember in week six the multiple choice questions you did in week one, so you're going to have to do them again anyway, which is why I say work through all of your videos and then take good notes, don't highlight, and then work through all of your multiple choice questions, then rewrite your notes, then review, and then go and take your exam. And so if you follow the Ninja framework, you're not going to follow the knock out two sections a week plan anyway. So I hope that is helpful, Danielle. Thanks again for calling in. All right, next up is Denise.
Hi, Jeff. My name is Denise, and I have a question for you. I am pretty new to the Ninja method of studying, so I am working on the end of Ninja, nailing the videos, and I'm working with Becker, the audit portion, and it just seems that there's just an insane amount of highlighting, just a crazy amount of highlighting, and I'm wondering if it would be better to just maybe take notes at the same time as I watch the videos, or watch the videos first and then work on the intense notes portion of the Ninja framework. Just curious about your thoughts. Thank you.
Yes, that sound means that Denise is the winner of the Ninja 10-point combo. Congrats, Denise. Yeah, you nailed it. Oh, by the way, hit me up. Shoot me an email, jeff@another71.com, and let me know which section you are. No, well, you told me, auditing. But and I will send you the 10-point combo, which includes Ninja Notes, Ninja Audio, Ninja Flashcards, and currently the Wiley Test Bank. So yeah, you nailed it. Highlighting, like I said before, highlighting is a joke. Highlighting is garbage. You do need to take notes. You need to get out those legal pads and watch the videos. Take notes. Throw the highlighter away. It's not going to help you when you review. You got it. You're spot on. And congrats on the 10-point combo. Shoot me an email and I'll send that off to you. All right. Next up is Jerry.
Hi, Jeff. Jerry from Miami. I have a question for your podcast. I've been listening to it. I just recently took DEC a few weeks ago and got a 69. My question is, with work hours and that infringe on my studying, after setting up a studying schedule and try to stick to it, as being a finance major and being involved with month-end clothes and also traveling and trying to make sure or basically trying to balance my work hours with my study schedule, what advice can you give in order to balance that out and to pass the sections of the exam?
Well, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, you're going through what I'm sure 95% of the other candidates out there are facing. That's trying to balance work life with studying. You know, some people study full time as they don't work, so work, so studying is their full time job, and they email me with other struggles, and it's because they wake up in the morning and they can study or they can get on Facebook or take a nap. Like, but most people don't have that problem, don't have that luxury, don't have that issue. So yeah, your people work, they have a family, they have a marriage, they have kids, they have Little League, they have church commitments, they travel, they have month-end close, busy season, and then this horrible exam to study for. So how do you do it? And the key is sacrifice. You have to be a little, well, if you're not at least a little bit uncomfortable in your study schedule, then you're not pushing hard enough. Because like you can't, not to use a cliche, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You have to get up, or like if you normally leave for the office by 7, so you get up at 6, well, now you need to get up at 5. If you work all morning in your cube, you like to walk down the street for lunch with the homies, and that's how you normally do it. Well, those days are over. You grab your sack lunch from the fridge, sit down, and knock out some multiple choice questions for 45 minutes or whatever during your lunch break. If you normally leave work at 5, now you leave work at 6. And if you're the type of person that doesn't want to sit there at your desk starting at 5 and study because it looks bad, well, if you normally go home at 5 anyway, it's weird. You can leave work at 5. But if you quit work at 5 and then start studying, it's awkward because people are like, what's he doing? So maybe you need to get out of the office and go down to the local coffee shop or whatever and study, or the library. So you're studying early, you're studying at lunch, and you're studying late. Hey, that sounds like the L plan, the ELL plan. If you don't have the L plan, go to another71.com, click on study videos, and you'll get the study video, and you'll get the L plan plus some other ninja goodies for free, and I'll just lay it all out there for you. But like everyone else is just like you, Jerry. trying to figure out how in the world to make it all work. I don't know if you're married or a single guy, but to add to it, the pressures of if you're dating or if you're married, I mean, it's just studying for the exam is tough. And so be intense, be focused, sacrifice, get it done as quickly as possible so you can get back on with your life. Thanks, Jerry. Next question is from Joel.
Hey, Jeff, this is Joel. I was just calling to say that I love the show and the site and have been following for about a year now. I was just wondering what you thought about taking more than one test in a testing period. Can I apply to take another test as soon as I finish the first one? I would like to just schedule them all ahead of time, but I wasn't sure. Or do you think that it would be better for me to just wait for results for the one test before I even worry about the second one? Thanks for everything. Appreciate the show. Bye.
Yeah, that's a good question. Do you buy all four of the NTSs at once, or do you just pay for them a la carte? If you pay for them all at once, then you run into the issue of some states they're only good for a certain amount of time, whatever, 6 months, 9 months, whatever it is. And so if you buy all four and then you take financial and you fail financial and you want to take financial again, well, the clock's ticking on those other notices schedules, and so it is better to take them one at a time. Of course, if you're going to pass all of them the first time, then I don't know if I can't remember if there's a group dis, like if you buy all four, if you save some money or not. But if it were me, I think the safer bet would be to just buy them one at a time. That's probably what I would do, because I did run into a situation where my notice of schedule was expiring, so I had to take. I mean, I was running out of time with an exam. I was studying for two exams, and I went in and just kind of threw a Hail Mary on auditing. Didn't study at all for it, but my notice of schedule was expiring, so I thought, well, I might as well go in and take the exam. I actually scored a 69 on that auditing exam. I didn't even study. And I thought that was pretty good. And then I went in and I actually studied and passed the next time. But yeah, I would just take them one at a time. If it were me, of course, it's completely up to you.
My name is Denise, and I have a question for you. I am currently studying for auditing. I work in industry where it's not really a requirement to be a CPA. I want to say even my boss and our director of our accounting department doesn't have their CPA either. So I'm wondering how important is having a CPA if you're working in industry? And I guess I'm wondering what the motivation would be behind studying for the CPA if you know for a fact you are not going to work in public accounting, et cetera. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Excellent question, Denise. You know, when I started studying for the exam, I no longer worked in public accounting. I did my 2-year stint in public and then worked for a privately owned company, then worked for two publicly traded companies. When I passed, I was already working in industry just like you. And you know, passing the CPA exam is something that you can do that will stay with you for the rest of your life. It is an instant resume booster. It gives you instant credibility in a room full of people, right, wrong, or indifferent. If people know that you're a CPA, and obviously you can only hold yourself out as a CPA if you're licensed in your state. But like, let's say that you want to volunteer for your church finance board or something like that. The fact that you're a CPA gives you instant credibility. And the fact that you pass a CPA exam instantly makes you more marketable on your resume versus other people who haven't taken the exam. And so at your present job, when it's, let's say that a position opens up that you want, well, HR will see, okay, Denise passed a CPA exam, but the other people that applied, they don't. They just have their bachelor's in accounting or whatever. you're probably going to get the job, or you're going to get interviews that you wouldn't have otherwise because you have the CPA designation. To non CPAs, like people in hiring positions, sure, a CPA designation, what does that mean? It means that you have the minimum requirements to serve the public interest. Does it mean that you're an expert in accounting? No. Does everyone think that you're an expert in accounting and tax who aren't CPAs? Probably, yeah, usually. So, right, wrong, or indifferent, they will, it automatically gives you just instant credibility. So, it's a great idea. Let's say that someone wants to be a stay-at-home mom or something eventually, and my wife is a stay-at-home mom. I realize that not everyone wants to be a stay-at-home mom, but let's say that you do. Let's say that it's a goal for you to stay home with your kids, and I'm not just talking to you, Denise, because I don't know your situation, but just anyone out there. If you have your CPA license, that gives you and you decide to leave industry, that gives you the flexibility to go home and start your own little CPA firm from your house and do tax work. And if you want to do people's taxes and you have CPA after your name, you're going to get more business. You can charge more. Think of passing the CPA exam as a hedge for your career. And, you know, your company might get bought out and some private equity firm is slashing, they buy it, they're slashing payroll because all they care about is the P&L. And so they're going through the HR files trying to figure out who they're going to get rid of. And they say, oh, Denise, she's a CPA. Yeah, we want to keep her around. Oh, Bobby, the dude in the cube next to you, nah, he's gone. And so all of that to say, passing the CPA exam, even if you don't work in public accounting, still an excellent idea. And if nothing else that I just said convinces you that passing the exam is a good idea when you work in public or when you work in industry and no one cares, the fact that you quit and did not stick with it will always bother you, and you will always think back and wish that you had finished what you started. If nothing else, the fact that you did not let the AICPA beat you. And I'm kind of reading into your question here, thinking that, you know, maybe you're just kind of tired of the exam and tired of studying, tired of the time commitment, tired of the money, and just tired of the headache and tired of looking at stupid financial accounting and reporting, just tired of it. Like, what's the point? No one at work is a CPA. They don't care. Why should I care? The fact that you did not let the AICPA beat you, that you came out on top, let that be your driving force if you're lacking in motivation from other areas. Thank you for the question. All right, two questions left. Next is Kristen.
Hey, Jeff. This is Kristen. First, I wanted to let you know how much I appreciate and enjoy listening to these podcasts. They are amazing. My question is, what exactly is changing for the audit exam starting July 1st? Is it just an extra section that is added to the exam, or are other parts of the original audit exam being dropped? It seems like the review material I am using are being updated early May, even though I will be sitting for the exam at the end of May. So I was wondering if studying the updated material mixed in with the old material would hurt my chances at my attempt at the audit exam.
Kristen, thank you for the very kind words, and I appreciate you listening. And it is good to know that people actually do listen, so I truly appreciate your feedback. I always wonder if people actually listen to this thing, but I guess they do. So thank you again. Yeah, the auditing changes, it's what is on a lot of people's minds because they're trying to figure out if they want to take the exam in April or May or what they have to deal with if they wait till July. In regards to the change, it's not like they are dropping some material off or adding some material in there. it's that the clarified auditing standards kind of rework some of the things. And so, like, specifically how the audit reports operate and all that. If your review course is mixing the stuff in as of May, I would still study the old stuff because, I mean, could you see questions about the clarified auditing standards in your April, May exams? Yes. Why would you see that when they're not supposed to be tested until July? Because they would be pre-test. Now, granted, I have no authority, no inside knowledge when it comes to how the AICPA operates. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that if you see clarified auditing standards on your April, May exams, it's because they're pre-tests and they're testing them out. Of course, that's, you know, nothing is for sure. If I were taking the exam today, would I study them? No. I would study how I would just study the normal way that they're presented and not worry about the change. So if your review course if your review course does not bifurcate the materials, how's that for a $15 word? Then I would study something like the Ninja Notes to keep it all straight. And you know what, Kristen? I'm going to send you some Ninja Notes. Yes, yes, yes. We're giving away 2 10-point combos today. I wasn't even planning on doing that, but Kristen was so nice and it just made sense to do that. So congrats, Kristen. Send an email to jeff@another71.com and I'll hook you up with some auditing Ninja Notes, Ninja Audio, Ninja Flashcards, and the Wiley Test Bank. Thank you, Kristen, for your kind words and your question. All right, last call of the day is Kyle.
I had a question about the regulations in 2014, how the law is going to change. I understand that there's going to be some additional requirements, but my question is, what if you have taken 2 tests, or say you have passed a few exams, and there's still a few exams that you need to take? Are you going to be required to go back to school in order to get you more units before you can sit for your exam again while your past exams that you've passed have, or should I say, are starting to begin to expire? So I guess my question, to be more clear, is what happens if you only pass some of your exams and then you enter 2014? Can you still take exams, or are you going to have to go back to school for more units? Thanks, Jeff. I look forward to hearing from you soon, and I appreciate all that you do. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kyle. Well, I'm assuming, since you're referring to 2014, that you're talking about California's Pathway 1 and Pathway 2. And whenever people ask about state-related educational requirements or licensing issues, I always direct them to their respective jurisdiction's website. And so in your case, and again, I'm assuming you're talking about California, go to the California Board of Accountancy. That's dca.ca.gov, and you'll see a tab that says applicants, and you click that, and then you'll see something that says initial licensing, and go down and you'll see new licensure requirements. And if you still have any questions, you can always ask people on the another71.com forum. A lot of California people on there who can help you out and point you in the right direction or answer questions that they have had answered for them already. Or I would just call like the executive director or whatever. Like, I don't know how it works in Kansas, if you can actually pick up the phone and talk to the big wig there. But here in Kansas, I can pick up the phone and ask the director. They are very helpful in that regard. So I would go to the Board of Accountancy website and otherwise pick up the phone and call someone who can help you out and answer that very important question about education requirements and licensure. All right, everyone. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of CP Reviewed. Hey, just under 30 minutes. Not too shabby. Send your questions, comments to jeff@another71.com, or better yet, go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, click Ask Jeff, and your question will appear in a future edition of the podcast. podcast, and even better yet, call me, the Ninja Hotline, area code 323-834-9132. That's 323-834-9132. One more time, because I know you're trying to write it down, 323-834-9132. Now, why would you want to call in? Well, because if you call in, just like these eight people did, you stand a very good chance of winning a Ninja 10-point combo. Hey, if you called in, if you're on today's show, you stood a 25% chance of winning, and that's not too bad. So take care, everyone. Thanks again. I will talk to you soon.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
See that? He's being funny.